Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Early projections are out for Purdue and the rest of the Big Ten for the fall's football season. Let's talk those, plus the loss of Milton Wright, the fate of Big Ten divisions, and more on Golden Black Radio. I'm Kyle Charters, Tom Dienhart here as well. Let's start out with that news from over the weekend, Tom, that you helped break. Milton Wright won't be with Purdue this fall. I think we sort of saw the writing on that wall if you paid attention to this podcast and elsewhere. Man, that's really too bad for him, too bad for Purdue, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel pretty confident in saying, Kyle, that Purdue did all it could to help Milton, and just didn't work out. Like you said, we kind of all saw this coming. Of course, fans remember Milton was not eligible for the bowl game because of academics, so that was obviously our first sign, and then you know, he sat out spring football to focus on his academics, and we were told, you know, it was going to be a uphill battle. And it turns out the hill was a little too steep to climb, and like you talked about, you know, Milton's off the team now. He's gone for good, Kyle. And, yeah, unfortunately, he was going to be the alpha. David Bell gone. Purdue has to sort through its receivers. Now, I will say this, there's a lot of very good receivers, solid receivers, Kyle, that Purdue still has on its roster. But is there a real difference maker? I guess that's up for debate.
Yeah, and without Milton Wright out there, Purdue loses, what, like 90% of its production from its wide receiver core? Who is even Purdue's leading returning receiver? I guess it's probably Brock Thompson, right? And then TJ Sheffield. Yeah. I mean, between David Bell, Wright, and Jackson Anthrop, I mean, that's 180 catches. I mean, it's a lot of catches. Maybe not quite that many, but certainly a lot of receptions from last season, right? You know, Purdue's got some guys, but I think you're right. Who is the alpha number one guy is maybe the big question for Purdue.
Yeah, Milton, I think, led the team with 7 touchdown catches, too. Remember that Northwestern game? He was spectacular up there against, in Wrigley Field. Yeah, I don't know if they have somebody who's going to, quote-unquote, take the top off of defense, as coaches like to say. You know, Brock Thompson, he was, of course, the MVP of the Music City Bowl, playing on 2 bad knees. One of the most impressive performances I've ever seen, Kyle. That was something in Nashville, what he did to the Vols. So he's back. He's healthy. I guess I would say he's your presumptive number one. In my mind, TJ Sheffield could be awfully good coming off an ankle injury, of course, in the Music City Bowl. Don't forget about Mershon Rice, kind of a freaky build guy. He's a big receiver, Kyle, 4-star recruit from Reynoldsburg, Ohio. He's never really gotten on track, you know. Been on campus 3 years, always seemingly fighting injury, but he's a guy that could be poised for a breakout, of course. They brought in the transfers. You know, don't forget about Tyrone Tracy from Iowa. I think he's going to maybe start. Elijah Canyon, the kid from Auburn, I'm not so sure he's ready to be a big contributor right now. And just swinging back to the veterans real quick, Kyle, Abdur-Rahman Racine, don't forget about him, too. He hurt a knee during practice last year. I know he's a talent, though, the staff likes a lot. So they had four key receivers that missed the spring because of injury. You know, again, Sheffield and Brock Thompson, Mershon Rice and Yassine, they're all going to be healthy and ready to go. And, you know, Colin Sullivan's back. And from what I'm told, Kyle, last Monday and Tuesday in particular, Purdue did host the Marcus Washington recruit, the Texas wide receiver. He was on campus for a visit. There's a chance, of course, Purdue could land him. So just stay tuned there. But just know this, my friend, Nebraska's in the running for Marcus Washington. And if we've learned one thing in this brief, crazy NIL period. What Nebraska wants, Kyle, Nebraska usually gets, if you know what I'm saying, a wink, wink.
You don't even have to wink, wink anymore, Tom. It's like you just shout it from the mountaintop.
They just got a safety from Alabama. They got a defensive end from Texas Tech, a defensive end from Texas Christian. And if the stories I'm hearing are correct, Kyle, checks are flowing in Lincoln.
Yeah, Mershon Rice, we'll get to Nebraska here in just a second, but Mershon Rice, you know, when he was a freshman, Purdue loved Mershon Rice, the coaches, mm-hmm. when they got him. And he, you know, he has shown flashes field, he has shown flashes in practice, but man, he just has not been able to stay healthy. If he could stay healthy and get a little bit of time to develop, I think he could be, you know, a go-to type of guy for Purdue. Man, he just has not been able to stay healthy.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It was a toe last year. I think he got hurt at Notre Dame really early in the year. You're exactly right. I mean, he could end up being a real X factor that's off everybody's radar right now for those very reasons you talked about, the persistent battle against injury. So, yeah, I'm eager to see if he can stay healthy. You know, Zion Steptoe was a true freshman that was here for spring drills. He certainly turned some heads. I just don't think he's ready at this point. I'm going to give you two redshirt freshmen that could be X-factors. Deion Burks, more of a diminutive receiver, sort of from the T.J. Sheffield mold from Belleville, Michigan. He could be a guy that steps up. And Preston Terrell from just down I-65 in Brownsburg. Boy, he certainly looks the part. And he's a guy that can maybe emerge, too. So there's a lot of options there. And don't forget about the tight ends. I don't think it's an overstatement to say that Purdue's duo, Payne Durham and Garrett Miller, isn't maybe the best tight end duo in the Big Ten this coming year. Certainly, if not the best, one of the best.
Yeah. All right, let's talk some projections for the fall. There were a bunch of different FanDuel and Bet Online and all sorts of different things came out with some odds for what will happen in the football season in the fall. Odds to win the Big Ten, according to Bet Online, which you tweeted out earlier last week. Ohio State 1-2. Don't put money on Ohio State. It'll probably win the Big Ten. Wisconsin 10-1. Michigan 10-1. A couple of teams that I have questions about. Penn State at 12-1. I don't understand Penn State. I don't understand, again, I do this every day, I know, with Penn State. It finishes a game above 500 last year. It's 500 combined over the last 2 years, and then it had eight guys drafted in the NFL. So, like, there were eight guys drafted from a 500 team, and then it's going to be better next year? That doesn't make sense to me. Nebraska's 14-1, Iowa 20-1, Michigan State and Purdue both 25-1, Minnesota 28-1, Indiana, which I think has a chance to not be good again. I don't think people are respecting how bad Indiana was last year, right? I mean, Indiana was really bad. 33-1,
yeah,
and then you get down into some nonsense here. But I'm not wrong, right? With Indiana, I mean, Indiana was like they weren't like close to good. They were really bad.
Yeah, they really had turnover with their coaching staff again, and they really had a lot of exchange in the transfer portal, too, the guys coming and going. So the roster seems like it's in even more tumult as they look for a winning formula, I guess. And the quarterback spot for them was a disaster last year, of course, with the injuries, Michael Penix in particular. They had to play the true freshman, Donovan McCauley, for a while. They've got the quarterback from Missouri, Connor Bazelak, coming in. Maybe he's the answer. I know Tuttle's back. So, yeah, they've got their issues down in Bloomington. And, you know, back to those odds. I mean, again, I'm like you. I scratch my head at some of them. I mean, those guys in Vegas or whoever set those odds typically obviously know what they're doing. But, boy, I don't tend to be a Kool-Aid drinker. But I think could be a very good Purdue team, even with the losses of Wright, Bell, and Karlaftis in particular. I think it could be good enough to win the West. I mean, Kyle, you've been doing this a long time, too. I can't think back in many seasons with this much anticipation the last 10 or 15 years than this coming one, can you?
No, not really. I mean, certainly not, you know, certainly not. From Danny Hope, Daryl Hazel, obviously. No, Daryl did tell us one year that they were going to win the Big Ten West. What, going into his second or third season? That was funny. I don't know if he told us where they were going, but that was their goal. And we were all like, well, maybe you should win a game.
I think going into 2019 for Jeff Rom was kind of a, I'm sure there was anticipation there from what I remember coming off the.
Was that the opener against Nevada?
Exactly right. Yeah, and then again, the wheels came off quickly there, but there was a lot of excitement coming into that year from what I remember too. Rondell was still back. You had David Bell and Karloff is coming. You had Elijah Sinlar. And, again, that was one. But this team, I think, you know, the excitement's every bit as big, if not bigger than that one. And I think it could even merit being a lower-ranked top 25 team coming into the year. But, again, we'll see how it plays out. But the Nebraska love I don't get. Iowa's always Iowa, but I don't like their quarterback, Spencer Petras. I default to Wisconsin in the West. That's okay. But I think Purdue should at least be picked second in that division coming into this year. But again, it's crazy. And those Vegas guys, like I said, typically know what they're doing, I guess.
Yeah, the FanDuel odds, you know, Wisconsin plus 185, Nebraska plus 250, Purdue plus 370, Iowa plus 550. Again, it's, you know, the love for Nebraska. I joked last week that they're, you know, since they actually won national championships in the 90s, they're like the month of May champions, right? I mean, every year, everybody loves Nebraska, it seems like, at this time of the year. Yeah, with Purdue, you know, sort of you press forward to this season, I feel like Purdue probably has more talented depth than it has in previous seasons, maybe without the stars, however, that it had last year. I think for Purdue, it's got to hope that, you know, it has some guys develop as playmakers, especially on the defensive side, but also at the skill positions on offense. But maybe it has a little bit more cushion because it's got better depth on the defensive line. You know, while it might not have a star at receiver, it does seem to have some better depth there. It has a good quarterback, obviously. And then it might have some depth in the secondary, though, of course, Marvin Grant seeking out schools like Kansas certainly hurts a little bit. But is that your thought too, that maybe there's, you know, now, you know, deeper into the Jeff Brom's tenure at Purdue, there might be a little bit more depth there while there perhaps isn't the star?
I think you summed it up perfectly. There is more depth, but are there those stars at the very top end talent, the difference making talent? I think that's the question, but without a doubt, like you said, Kyle, there is more depth. Defensive line, receivers, very similar too. A lot of good options, but are there difference makers there? And on the D-line, we'll see. Aiden O'Connell, we really haven't talked about him at all, right? I mean, that's the crux of my excitement and why I think the fans should be excited, and it's going to fuel anticipation for this coming season is the return of number 16 for his sixth year. I mean, he was second team All Big Ten last year. And he didn't start till the fifth game of the season. C.J. Stroud, I guess C.J. Stroud's the best quarterback in the conference. Tip your hat to him. But Aiden O'Connell is the second best quarterback. I'll take him over Spencer Petras or Tanner Morgan or Graham Mertz or this Casey Thompson kid that Nebraska got from Texas. So again, I want you. If you got a, I mean, you've been doing this. You got a quarterback like O'Connell, man. Every time he takes the field, you know you got a chance to score and win a game. And what that does to the psyche of players on both sides of the ball cannot be measured. So, again, just having that guy back, I mean, he's going to make everybody around him better. There may not be a first-round draft choice receiver or a first-round draft choice defensive end, but Aiden O'Connell is going to make everybody better. Go back. I always go back to this, Kyle. Think back to that Drew Brees team in 2000. I mean, how many great receivers did he have? Then he's the other one, Chris Daniels. I mean, think about that. Seth Morales. Look how he made everybody better. I'm not saying that Aiden O'Connell's Drew Brees, but I think he can have that type of effect to a degree where he's going to make those around him better, whoever catches these passes.
Well, you don't have to look that far back. Just look back to the bowl game. I mean, Brock Thompson is a good player.
Yeah. Yeah, great point.
I don't know that he's a player that's going to catch however many passes he has for all that yardage and a few touchdowns every game. Now, Tennessee's defense was bad, But, man, it seemed like O'Connell really raised the play of some of the receivers around him, and that's probably what he's going to need to do again this season.
Yep. And he really wasn't even on his game in Nashville. Remember, he had some bad passes, threw some picks.
Yeah.
He really wasn't one of his better games from a completion percentage standpoint. But no David Bell, no Milton Wright. Didn't have his starting left offensive tackle either. And I don't care what anybody says, that was an SEC team basically playing on its home field, fully charged and healthy, that wanted to win that game badly. Yeah. And they got beat by Purdue, which didn't have, again, Karlaftis, Bell, Milton Wright, Greg Long, or its best defensive tackle, Branson Dean.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Let's talk a little bit about you've had a good series on goldenblack.com just about some of the issues facing the Big Ten and college football. Let's break down some of those. We'll do that coming up next on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Designing and building since 1968, T&W has changed the way people think about construction. T&W's three-stage approach to designing and building is unmatched throughout the construction industry. Learn more about T&W's people, passion, and projects at twdesignbuild.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway.
Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And Kyle here with Tom talking a little bit of Purdue football, Big Ten football, college football, all of that. Tom, you've had a good series on goldenblack.com just about some of the issues facing college football, from the NIL to the transfer portal to TV contracts, to divisions, all of that. It's been pretty interesting read, I think. So Big Ten divisions, why would they get rid of them? You think they'll remain?
I think they're going to go by the wayside as early as 2023. I think they're going to follow the ACC's going to do here. I think they're going to keep, from what I'm told, from people I've spoken to, who were at the meetings in Scottsdale, that actually had seats at the table, they're always going to keep nine games. I think we can count on that for sure. So you have your three non-conference or nine conference games. And how do you construct your conference schedule without divisions? And I think there'll be some sort of a collection of three teams who are permanent opponents annually, and a rotation of the other ones. But the goal being that if you come to Purdue as a freshman, you're going to get a chance to play at least in every venue one time. Maybe the three permanent opponents, four permanent opponents, and the other ones cycle off and, in some six or five team fashion each year. And I think not having a vision, I think, would enhance that. The thinking is would enhance the Big Ten's ability to get more teams in the college football playoff. And you'd always get your two best teams in your Big Ten championship game as well. But again, I think it goes back to the college football playoff, Kyle. That's what all this is all about. It's trying to get your best teams, as many teams as you can, into that playoff, which is going to expand to 12 teams almost for sure. And I think what the contract expires 2024-25. So I think that's sort of what the future of divisions and conference schedules is going to look like here in the near future.
How would that enhance the Big Ten's ability to get more teams in a 12-team field?
I just think that they think they could rank higher in the college football playoff poll. That's going to be a determining factor, one of the factors for the committee to look at. Like I said, it'll be interesting to see. I wish we could have got to the playoffs sooner here, but the ACC was the real stick in the mud that sort of put the kibosh on moving forward on even quicker. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting moving forward here. Of course, the TV deal for the Big Ten is coming up, right? The $1 billion-a-year contract. 18 schools are going to get $71 million a year. So there's plenty of money floating around on the Big Ten at this point. And so that looks like it's coming down the pike. That CBS 3:30 Eastern time slot that the SEC occupied for years could maybe end up maybe being a Big Ten slot. Will we see a streaming service involved in this contract? It sounds like we could, maybe to a small degree. That's really going to be fascinating, I think, for a lot of people to see how these streaming services, if they get involved, what it looks like. And the Big Ten is the first one to jump in the water here from a TV negotiating standpoint.
That'll be interesting. I just laugh because
they get a lot of money.
So many fans can't figure out what channel the games are on, let alone figuring out how to stream a game. Oh boy!
Well, remember this: you're talking about guys, fans who typically went to college and they'll tend to be a little smarter than the average person. So you'd like to think the consumers of college football at least would skew intelligent enough to figure out streaming, but maybe not.
Yeah, you would hope so. So the general feeling is that teams in the West have benefited from being in the West, right? Including Purdue. Right. But if Purdue had three or four frozen opponents per year, like they were locked into, it seems like that would be an okay scenario for Purdue as well, because the opponents that those will be, it will be Indiana and Illinois. At least will be two of them, right? And then perhaps.
Thank you.
Northwestern, maybe, or I mean, that wouldn't be the end of the world to have those three teams. Iowa, maybe, yeah.
I mean, I think, there's no doubt. If a scenario like that, if those are Purdue's permanent foes each year, would certainly still be a good benefit for the Boilermakers. So, yeah, I think we can count on some type of change coming here, and. It'll be interesting to see, just throw it on the pile with all the other change we've seen and we've been written about and talked about them that last month or so with NIL and transfer portal. People want reform with that. On it goes. There's been a truckload of change, obviously, that's been impacting college sports across many different levels here recently.
Yeah, I've read your story on the transfer portal and, maybe some coaches wanting some changes to that, including maybe like transfer windows, so that perhaps something like what has happened to Purdue here recently with Marvin Grant maybe would be less likely to happen, or at least coaches could adjust to that a little bit better. Do you think there'll be changes? And by windows, I mean like certain weeks that players would be able to freely jump into the portal. Do you think we'll see any change with that?
Yeah, I think that. Seems like the consensus that people like to see a window open at the end of the regular season up to the early signing period in December being one window, and the other window being in the spring, sometime mid-April to mid-May after most spring practices have concluded. Just a chance for coaches to get a real grasp of their rosters going into the offseason in particular. I think a big change that's coming is the ability to oversign, Kyle. Right now you're restricted to signing 25 guys a year. I think you're going to be able to probably sign as many as you need to get to 85. That's going to be the key, Kyle. Just however many guys you need to sign in a given year to get to 85 scholarships, which is a limit, you're going to be allowed to do. Right now it's 25 plus 7. It's going to be 7 guys to the portal, so you can add as many as 32. But, man, talking to coaches, you know, there's a lot of schools that are going to they play seasons without 85 scholarships just because they're limited in how many guys they can bring in on an annual basis. So I think you're going to see basically a one-for-one type of a proposition, like I said. You lose a player, you can add a player. So we're seeing schools like Kansas. Kansas, I think, is also over 10 guys, if not more. And there, you can find plenty of other examples of schools across the country. Arizona State's been ravaged with defections. So just from a player safety standpoint, I mean, you've got to let these teams be able to fill out. And I think that's something that's probably coming down the pike for sure, and it's going to happen pretty soon.
Hey, Tom, out of time. Thanks a lot.
All right, be good, buddy.
All right, that'll do it for the podcast for this week. Much more, including all those stories from Tom, which I found interesting at goldandblack.com, plus more reaction of Milton Wright. And he'll get geared up for the season. Tom will as well. All right, that'll do it for the podcast for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, as always. For Tom Dienhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.